It's Saturday morning, and it's 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
I'm Adam Van Wee.
And I'm Joey Loss.
You heard it. We are all here today giving you the dose and a half of wisdom and fun and you know, all that wonderful stuff. Adam's taking a vacation from his vacation to come back up and join us in the studio today. It's just such a beautiful day up here. I can't imagine that it would be all that horrible. But you will be doing some driving. Got a quick announcement or two. One in particular is Adam's announcement. There's a little something happening in his family today.
Happy birthday to my daughter.
Yeah.
Oh, happy birthday, Taylor.
Yeah, she is the big 14, starting high school. Just full of all sorts of attitude and it's a lot of fun.
And for her grandparents, she's our youngest one, and she's going into high school and turning 14. You want to feel old? It's not that hard. You have 4 years. It's all going to leave.
I know. Don't remind me.
They're starting next year, and boom, boom, boom.
Well, on a similar aging note, Ellis got, my daughter Ellis is 16 months. She got bit for the first time at school, which I feel like is some sort of unavoidable landmark.
I remember when Taylor got bit the first time.
It's a rite of passage, right? Yeah,
there's some kind of epidemic going on, because the next day I went to pick her up, I saw another parent holding her child with very obvious bite marks on the arm.
Oh, wow.
Talking about, so I think there's a new kid biting everybody.
Wow.
Well, yeah. Heads up.
We've been through that a long time ago, too. And the other one was a very special hats off to the Florida Panthers, who have repeated as the world champions in hockey. The Stanley Cup is theirs again, and it's never been done three times. We'll see.
Yeah, must be those long winters skating on the ponds.
It must be. You know, I was talking to Sarah about that earlier this week, saying, you know, having grown up in the frozen tundra and thinking hockey is played up here and even further north, that's the southernmost hockey team in the U.S. Yeah. And they're repeat champions.
Yeah. And they won over Canada.
Yeah. And, well, I don't even have to say anything about that. Just try to get the smile off my
jokes
face.
Jokes just write themselves at this point.
You got it. Anyway, all that said, for all the regulars, welcome back. And we're the reason, you're the reason we're always here talking about what we want to do. And then if you're new to the program, either we told you about it, somebody else told you about it, you found it by accident, try to listen in for the whole hour, I promise. Along the way, you will learn something, and it might even be useful or money-saving along the way. So we shall see as time goes on. But if you have questions or observations or comments or topics of interest, just pick up the phone and dial 904-222-8255, and we will put you on. If you are timid about that, A, you shouldn't be, because we don't bite. And two, if you want to get to us, right at info@strivuswealth.com, and we will answer it if we get it during the show, otherwise next week. So all that said, this was a week in the market. I always try to come up with one sort of keyword. I can't even think of one today.
No, I think it was actually good that it was like that. It was it was a short week because of the Juneteenth holiday. There was no trading on Thursday, but yeah, not much happened. But that's good news. The Fed weeks tend to be really volatile. And we have a running sort of joke, but it's sort of true that after a Fed meeting, there's always a big up day and a big down day, but you never know which is coming first. And some days they happen on the announcement, some days they happen the 2 days after. We didn't see that this week.
No.
We just saw a very muted reaction. And the indexes, they ended pretty close to where they started for the week. So I think that the most notable thing that happened this week, though, was that the Fed didn't move. And I think that's a huge mistake.
I do too.
I think that they are going to get behind the curve. And that is the history of, in the history of the Fed, they've always been behind the curve. And Powell has actually done a really good job navigating a soft landing, which nobody thought he could pull off. But I think he's really screwing up now. I think that it's clear, very clear, that the economy is weakening. There are soft spots everywhere. We're not in recession. There's nothing like that. But I think that if they continue at the current pace, you could make a pretty good case that there will be one. And their fear is of inflation, which is just not there.
Caused by tariffs, which don't cause inflation.
And we've already, I know it's early on in the tariff thing, but we've already seen that it hasn't happened. In fact, it's been going the other way. And so the fear that I have is that they react too late and do too little, and then we do slip into recession just because they didn't want to move for whatever reason. And I just think it's a big mistake. So if you have different thoughts, let me know.
Well, I will never disagree with that. It's been amazing to me through his tenure so far that he has avoided, for the most part, any dramatic errors. This one is political. That's my look at this whole thing. I think any other Fed chairman or any Fed chairman who was right of center and wasn't totally anti-Trump, I think they would have lowered rates.
I don't see it that way. I don't think it's political. I just think they're misreading it. I really do. He hasn't done anything overtly political to this point. He's been pretty impartial. And I just disagree with their current stance. It's not just him. It's the whole board is like anti-cut. And maybe it's because Trump is trying to bully them into a cut. They don't want to appear to be caving to him. So you could call that political, but I think that that's just human nature to some degree.
I agree.
The surprise of the week from the Fed to me was that they said they're on track for 2 cuts this year.
Mm-hmm. They did say that.
I did not expect to hear that.
Yeah, and I think that's why you saw the muted reaction. What were you going to say, Joey?
I was just going to say, you know, I think that, honestly, to Trump's credit, like, I think he recognized what he was doing was not appropriate like 2 months ago.
I agree.
And he chilled out. So I feel like if the Fed is holding on to some sort of resentment, like, that is completely a personal issue that's inappropriate. I just don't see them doing that.
He met with Powell and it seemed to go well. Yeah. I mean, he didn't say much about it, but he didn't come out raging against him. So
I would
agree. But then after the meeting, he was hard on him again.
Well, that's Trump though. He's a New Yorker. He was actually being super nice.
Yeah.
I forgot.
Yesterday or whenever it was, it was like, I think it was yesterday. It was the first time, you know, Trump went on air and I heard him talking badly about Powell in an ad hominem way. Again.
I heard it. Yeah.
Kind of funny.
But I agree with him. He's right. They need to cut.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's not going to be as easy to recover if they wait a little too long because the momentum is gone. But the thing that bothers me is they're imputing a lot of harm from the tariff talk. And if you just look back at history on tariffs, tariffs are not the problem. The problem on Smoot-Hawley was that we were in a depression.
Yeah.
And then they tried to do that across the board, and it was really stupid policy.
Plus, Trump's already eliminated 2/3 of the tariffs that he put in place in the first place. So,
and this week, they cut the deal with the UK and didn't talk about it.
Yeah.
A lot more on this after the break, but we were on a hard break, so we'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And I'm Joey Loss.
And as usual, we do have a trivia question sponsored by Paul Lloyd at First Coast Alarm. And you can call Paul at 904-636-7888. The market has been pretty good lately, especially last year. We got off to a slow start this year and it's perking up again. But last year was a really good year. And it helped a lot of people gain wealth. On average, last year, how many millionaires were created in the U.S. every day?
Nice.
And I think you'd be surprised.
Yeah, well, it wasn't. I don't think any were created this week because the market didn't do anything, as I've mentioned before. The NASDAQ managed a small gain of 40 points, which was 0.2%. And the Dow and the S&P were both within 9 points of where they started the week. And I don't mean that in percentage terms, literally 9 points.
Yeah, you can round that to zero.
Yeah, basically. For the year, the Dow is still negative, but it's by less than 1%, while the NASDAQ is positive by less than 1%, and the S&P is up 1.7%. A whole lot has happened between the beginning of the year and now to basically end up with a flat market. It's been a wild ride to end up within 2% of the starting point.
Yeah, and if we finish off 2 more quarters like this one, it might be a pretty good year.
Well, if they were like this, get rid of that first quarter and
we'd be
in good shape. International stocks fell for the first time in a while, with the international index dropping 1.3% this week. Emerging markets fell about the same. The bond market was up about 0.3% as interest rates dropped slightly, and that was despite the Fed holding rates steady. Commodities index was skyrocketed this week. It was up 2.7%, and that was with the price of gold dropping by 2%, but oil was up 3.6%. Mm-hmm. Oil is now up 22% in the last month, and that is all due to the conflicts going on over in the Middle East, as usual. The economic data released this week was not super encouraging, as retail sales fell sharply by 0.9%. However, if you strip out the volatile automobiles, building materials, and gas stations to get core retail sales, they actually rose by 0.1%, so not as bad as it looks. Additionally, this month was kind of a backlash to the tariff front-running in the prior month, so I think there's just a lot of noise in that retail sales report. So let's wait another couple months and see where it levels out at. If you look at core still growing, that's really not bad news there. Weekly jobless claims reversed their steady march higher and came in at 242,000. That was 5,000 less than the previous week. Continued claims also dropped slightly, so that was good news. But the really bad news was in the housing market, which saw housing starts decline 9.8%. Starts are now down 4.6% from a year ago, and new permits also fell by 2%, bringing both of those measures to the lowest level since the COVID shutdowns. All of this led to the lowest home builder sentiment level, which was at 32. Anything under 50 signals bad news. And that was the lowest level since the end of 2022. The total number of homes under construction is now down 13.7% in the past year. So home builders, the outlook not so good right now. That's another reason I think the Fed needs to move.
Yeah, exactly. That's the correct way to stimulate the home building is interest rates.
Yeah, definitely. And so overall, just a flat week, not a lot of good news, not a lot of terrible news either, but just kind of, like you said, there's just blah, I guess.
There's more uncertainty than there is volatility, right? That is which true. I thought was very interesting.
Yeah, the VIX hovered around 20 all week, just kind of a neutral range, nothing special. So yeah, that's all I had.
I think it's interesting, you know, the fact that the market didn't move, if you think about all the headlines we saw over the last 7 days. It shows like a change in the way investors are reacting even 3 months ago. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that we would have saw a flat week with those headlines.
I think there's a lot of people that think that Trump is doing all the wrong things, and a lot of people that think that Trump is making moves that are really going to benefit us, and that leads to just a deadlock kind of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the S&P's value is just dead in the middle.
Yeah, there's a very important date coming up, though. I think the nation's birthday this year, 4th of July, is kind of ground zero for getting some things done.
I can't wait for the protest, personally. That's what I'm looking forward to.
I'm kidding. You're going to have a whole bunch of uncertainty from now till then, and I'm not sure how many people are going to like the certainty once we get it, but he's given Iran a couple of weeks, which incidentally takes us out to about the 4th of July, to do something, and is pre-positioning some B-2 bombers and letting everybody know he's doing it so that they have something to fear over there. And the Senate package trying to get anything through the Senate, you want to talk about herding cats? My God. Meanwhile, we're going to jump to the phones. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, gentlemen.
How's everything?
Everything is fantastic.
Well,
hey,
good.
I just have a quick statement, no question.
Yeah.
You know, Adam was talking about, you know, he doesn't think it's political, and also that you know, it's in relation to the tariffs. I think it's also related to a third factor, and that's the inflation already built into goods and services in the economy. I think things are way, way high. If you talk to realtors also, I agree with your statement that the interest rates do need to be lowered in order for housing, but also for more homes to move. We have friends all over the country, and we're checking with them in with them on real estate, and real estate all over the country is not really moving existing homes as well.
That's true.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
But I think it's also, if you go to the store, I just cooked bacon this morning. Okay, I went to the store, picked up bacon, no hormones, no antibiotics, you know, raised humanely. Guess what a package of bacon costs now? And how many pieces do you think are in a package of bacon?
You mean the 12-ounce pound that they're doing?
10 pieces of bacon.
10.
So, you know, you've got an inflated price, and you've got 10 pieces of bacon.
And how much was it?
Try serving a family of four to 10 pieces of bacon. No, you got to buy two packages of bacon.
And what did you pay for it?
I think it was like $6.99, $7.
Wow. We buy kind of the bulk at Costco, and it's not quite that bad. But my God.
Yeah.
You're right.
That was a certain favorite grocery store price with a green a green sign out front. So. Yeah,
there's nothing cheap over there anymore, unfortunately.
No.
Yeah, it's getting a little scary. And when you look at what it costs to feed a family nowadays, it's beyond comprehension to me.
Yeah. Anyhow, I'll hang up and listen. I think it's a combination of also stuff that's already built in inflation-wise in the economy. I think things are way above what they need to be.
Yeah. Did you want to take a shot at the trivia, Bob?
I'd say per day?
Yes.
175.
All right. That's a good guess, but it's low.
Okay. Very good.
All right. I appreciate it. We got a little bracketry going on now. So.
Okay. Talk to you soon.
All right. Have a good weekend. Yeah, that 175 would have been a good number.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not good enough.
Yeah, that's great.
You know, there's so much wealth in the stock market, and it's distributed among a lot more people than people realize between the 401ks and the
pension
IRAs
plans and
pension plans and all that. So, yeah, you think it's only for the wealthy, and there are people out there in the political and media worlds that want us to believe that it's only the wealthy. But when you start looking at the tax thing that's going on right now and how many people would be affected negatively, the senators are smart enough to know that if they don't do this, they're going to get unelected faster than you can say 6 years have gone by.
Sure. And $1 million is not what $1 million was even five years ago.
But also, the you were saying that average person has more access to stocks these days or has some involvement. The average Robinhood balance is $4,800, and the median account balance is $240. So there are tons of people out there who don't have a ton of money who are still investing.
But they're involved.
Yeah, exactly. Which is the right way to get involved while you're young and you grow it.
I agree. Speaking of the stock market, this is just a little point of interest. There is virtually no point in what I'm about to bring up, except it's kind of fun.
Okay.
The humongous merger between U.S. Steel and Nippon Steel, which was on again, off again, started out as a buyout. That was kiboshed. And then they went back to the table. Trump invited them all back to say, well, let's blend these things, and the board of directors will be Americans, the CEO will be Americans, the plants will be Americans, on and on. But Nippon will inject, I think it's $19 billion they're putting into the deal for recapitalizing. Oh, and the headquarters is going to stay in Pittsburgh. So the way I look at it, it's all good. But the interesting component of that is the new company is not U.S. Steel anymore. U.S. Steel was listed on the New York Exchange for over 100 years with what stock symbol? Anybody know? I know a lot of you out there know, but it's not something we deal in a lot.
I don't know.
It is the symbol X. There are very few companies that get away with a one-letter symbol. Citicorp is C, for instance. The M has not ever been used because it's been held for Microsoft, but they listed on the NASDAQ and haven't jumped over, so it's not used. There are a few others, but not very many. But now there's a 90-day cooling-off period when a stock is delisted from a certain symbol, and X will be available in another 88 days or so. Can anybody think of anyone who might want to use that?
Yeah. No idea.
And can afford to buy it. Yeah.
Well, it can't be Tesla because that's already listed as TSLA, but he has certain other entities, and not all of them, I don't believe, are slated to go into the public realm. But something tells me that there's going to be some way where a certain name pops up when it comes to X, because you can bet the last thing in his world that he would ever do is let somebody else get it without a fight.
Yeah, he'll probably get it because I don't think people want an enemy of him.
I think you got a good point there.
Or if he puts in a bid, everybody else is going to leave.
Yeah, they get it. Maybe they get an offer they can't refuse, and I only mean that in the financial sense. Mean,
there's a bunch of people that might want to bid him up, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Make it more expensive.
Good luck.
Like I said, there's absolutely no point to that story except that I thought it was fun and interesting. Because whenever he's around, it's always interesting. Okay, we got to take a quick break, pay some bills. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
I'm Adam Van Wee.
And I'm Joey Loss.
I do want to remind everybody that the lines are open, 904-222-8255. Trivia questions still out there. On average, how many millionaires were created in this country last year per day? And we know that 175 is low. It was a very good year, all things considered. In fact, I could think of more and more reasons why it was a very good year, but I won't get into that. All right. One of the things that's happening is something that you're going to hear about only from selected talking heads, some political, some not. But just in the few months that Trump's been back in, we've just experienced the biggest blue-collar wage increase in six decades. All of a sudden, blue-collar workers are taking it home. And if these people get their tax cut taken away from them because the Senate won't get the deal done for the one BBB, they're not going to be happy. Well, who put Trump in office? The blue-collar workers who shifted over just like they did for Reagan. That's why I am extremely confident. I don't know the details, but I'm extremely confident that the one BBB is going to get done by the 4th of July. So anybody who's really worried about that, I don't mind anybody being concerned. Of course, I am concerned because it's very necessary. But I don't really think you have to worry about it. They cannot shift gears on this thing and stay. They can't keep their jobs if they do that. So this one is really, really important. If you remember what happened when the tax cuts came in, the average household gained $2,400. And this one, we've seen real wages. That means after inflation, wages grow at 2% in the first 5 months. Now, that you can put in the bank. If that were to happen again and again, then it would be 2, 4, 5. And that's not how much money you're making. That's how much money you're keeping. And that is really important to people. So I was very, very pleased to read this. And he's been talking about it a little bit. And this guy, Scott Bessent, who's our current Treasury Secretary, I look at everything he does, and I have to be impressed.
Yeah, I like him.
Yeah, he seems to have such a calm demeanor and a total understanding of what's going on out there. Very impressive, and I think he'll help a lot. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning. How are you?
Excellent. You?
Good. Very good.
What's up?
I wanted to guess on the trivia.
Yes.
I saw a pop-up on this question, so I'm going to guess 1,000 Americans.
Well, you're technically outside my range because of the division itself, but I know there are stories out there that rounded it. And in the spirit of being the first full day of summer, I think that's close enough. How about that? I have the number for you. It's 379,000, and if you do the division on that, it's 1,035. And I was only going to take it plus or minus 5 or 10, but then what you just said yeah, because who's going to write a story that says 1,035? Nobody, right? And sometimes I do that to intentionally fool people. I'm not above that, but not today. I'm in a good mood today, and that's really good news. All right. So very, very well done. I will put you on hold, and Roger will get your address, and Adam and Joey will kick you out something that you can actually use, like Publix probably this time, right?
Yeah,
Yeah, I think it's a Publix gift card.
Great. Well, we really appreciate the call. Thanks. Have a wonderful weekend.
Yeah.
All right. Yes. Can you imagine that? Every day, 1,035 people become millionaires over the course of a year. It's one thing if it happens one month or week or something like that, but I just love that statistic. Those people invest, reinvest, make money, pay taxes, hire people. You know, it's just, it's such a spiraling upward thing that a good economy will do and a good market will do. So speaking of good markets and jobs and so on, another interesting little thing I picked up this week. There are a lot of people who are now realizing one of the dreaded nightmares of people my age back in the 70s. When computers were just coming in, and I had never even seen a computer when I got my first job as a computer programmer, so I was the definition of a trainee. And as I got involved in that, the computer business for a couple of years, everybody worried about having their jobs taken away because of computers. And yet a funny thing happened in the 70s and the 80s. Computers got bigger and better and stronger and faster. And the more we gave the manager class, the more they wanted. The more they wanted, the more of us got jobs. The computers got better and they wanted even more information. That took even more of us. So rather than realizing our nightmares, it was closer to realizing our dreams. People were going into the business, getting jobs, getting well paid for it, and on it went, all throughout the 70s, 80s, and then in the 90s, the magic of the internet, you can thank Mr. Gore when you see him next time, the magic of the internet didn't take him away either. It just made more and more people want to use him. So it's been a non-issue until... What was the first time you guys heard about AI?
AI? Gosh, outside of like movies and stuff like that. I mean, realistically, with ChatGPT's announcement a few years ago.
Okay.
What about you, Joey?
I mean, I feel like it was talked about in like 2018, but as far as like in a way that felt like I could interact with it and it would become a tool for use.
Yeah,
I'd agree with Adam. Like ChatGPT was really the name.
Yeah, it's like the personal computer where nobody understood. Nobody understood why you would want one. Yeah. What's the guy's name? The guy who ran Microsoft after Bill Gates, Steve Ballmer. Ballmer's mother asked him one day, "Why would anyone want a computer?"
Yeah,
well, you can sell maybe 10 of these things to the world's biggest companies and governments, but after that.
I remember the first time I saw an iPod. Mm-hmm. I was on a trip to Costa Rica with two friends, and one of the friends brought one. I was like, "Why on earth do we need that?" And then he plugged the tape cassette thing into there, and he's like, "What do you want to listen to? I have it all right here." I was like, "Oh, okay, now I get it." Sometimes you have to have the real world experience to understand why it's good.
That was the magic of Steve Jobs, who could sell you something by informing you that you needed it.
Yeah, yeah.
When you didn't know.
That's right. That's why Apple is a hugely valuable company, because they created something that we didn't even know that we would become addicted to.
Exactly. Well, back to the evolution of all this stuff. We were actually talking about AI back in the 70s. And just among the group of nerds that I worked with, and what do you talk about with a bunch of nerds that – are in the computer business, you talk about computers. So this concept had been around for a long, long time, but it was nothing to fear until maybe 2018 or so. And that didn't start out to me as being a fear warning. It started out to me as being, oh my gosh, we're going to actually be able to use this as kind of a tool and so on. But then as the time has gone on, you're starting to see a lot of layoffs now. Microsoft already did their first 6,000. They've announced their next 6,000. And there are a lot more people doing the layoffs. It has actually come true now that computers are beginning to replace people. That was our nightmare back then. So you parents out there who have younger people who might be worried about these things, you know there are things you can tell your kids that are never going to be a problem. You want to be a plumber, carpenter, something like that, build things with your hands, repair things, great, no problem. But if not, then I would suggest that you lead them into, instead of rejecting the AI, to really embrace it and utilize it. Now, there's a company called Anthropic. Anybody know, you know them? Anthropic has put out an AI course that's free online. Anybody can take it. And it was built by education people and people who work in AI together. And it's very interesting. You can get it. I think I have the, I may not have the URL. But if you search on Anthropic AI free course, it's short, only takes about 4 hours. It's introductory. It's done in modules so that the first one just introduces you to terminology, and then it goes on as to how to speak to it to get out of it what you want. What they're saying about these things is that if you know that, your future is pretty much bright. Because right now, if you look at who's paying for who and who's fighting for who in the job world, people who are AI literate are really knocking them dead. So you learn about things like delegation, description, discernment, and diligence. That's step one, the four things that are important in the framework of the AI. Then the collaborative part, automation, augmentation, and agency. And this is what this course does. It starts you out learning the language, and then it tells you how, and then it tells you how to improve. So going online for a total of 4 hours in shorter segments, your kid can get a free intro. And then I will promise you that will lead him or her to more and more resources that would be free to use too. If I had a kid and they said, what should I do with the rest of my life? I would simply say, learn and use AI. You will be fine. My opinion. We'll be right back after one more break. Don't go away. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
I'm Adam Van Wee.
And I'm Joey Loss.
And I remind everybody the lines are open, 904-222-8255. And even though we have a trivia winner, it's always fun to talk about what you want to talk about. So give us a ringy-dingy if you have something on your mind. All right, we're talking about young kids and AI and so on. I'm going to shift over to a different plane now. The registered investment advisory business, which is what we all have, are the form of our company's registered investment advisor. We are regulated by the Securities Exchange Commission, SEC, and SEC over the past administration has been proposing some unbelievable rules. It's like they want us to tie at least one of our hands behind our back. Well, fortunately, post-election, the new SEC is a user-friendly SEC, so they're backing off on some of this thing. And I want to show you how ludicrous it could have been. One of the proposed rules that has now been 86th. Also jettisoned this week was a proposal that would have made advisory firms responsible for ensuring that no breaches of fiduciary duty or violations of other industry rules occur at third-party firms they enlist for help with investing software, indices, etc. So, whopping company like ours, four people, the little tiny Charles Schwab company that we use for a custodian had any kind of a problem, we were going to be held responsible.
Makes sense. Total sense.
Yeah.
Because I control that.
Yeah, exactly. This is government totally, totally out of control. And I'm so glad they're backing off on this because it's not going to help you guys who are listening. People who deal with RIAs would have been the losers in this thing, and I think these people are starting to realize it. But I wanted you two guys to talk a little bit about what the term discretionary trading means. There is a real big fight on discretionary trading right now, and they were trying to virtually eliminate it even for RIAs. And my contention is that would be as dumb as anything they've ever proposed.
I think that would be worse than the fiduciary extension that you were just talking about.
Well, the fiduciary extension, there's no way they could actually hold you accountable for that. I mean, they could because they're the government, but you can't actually perform that duty. There's no way.
And I want to be super clear that that would dramatically raise the cost of interacting with a business like us.
Yeah. Because we'd have to hire outsourced compliance.
You'd have to have attorneys that go through everything with every vendor all the time. Because how often does any vendor you use, when you log into your iPhone twice a year, you know, you're going to get, hey, do you accept the new terms and conditions? Are we paying attorneys to do that and then go on the premises and ensure
that
they're actually following?
I can't even imagine that you could. That's just not possible.
Yeah.
So the discretionary thing would be actually worse, because they could say you no longer can have discretion, and you have to. So therefore, every trade that you place, you have to call and verbally verify with the client after you verify that you're talking to the client, and that it would just be. It would be an operational nightmare. So any kind of rebalance, any kind of reinvested dividend, you might have to call and do that.
Gosh.
It's just, it doesn't make any sense. The whole reason people hire people like us is to outsource their, they hire us for financial planning, but they also want to outsource their investment management. And so that just kind of kills the investment management side, because then you're having to call the client all the time to get permission to do anything.
Yeah, I mean, we're at the office doing the heavy lifting so that they don't have to. And if we have to ask for permission for everyone, I mean, just imagine a routine rebalance.
Right.
Let's say somebody gets a large sum of money, a bonus at work, right? How common is that?
Yeah.
Or they sell a home and they reinvest.
They deposit the proceeds. $50,000.
Right. I mean, we're going to buy potentially 15, 20 different things.
Yeah, definitely.
Are we going to talk about every one of them?
I guess so.
The concept for people who are not as deep into it as we are, discretionary refers to our ability to make trades in client accounts.
Yeah.
We do not have a policy or a business model that says, you bring your money to us, we'll invest it for you, and we'll talk next year or whatever. That's not what we do. We're talking about making a plan, making an investment plan, executing it, and then moderating not modifying so much as just like rebalancing, that sort of thing. In other words, there are times when we make a trade without asking you, because part of our plan is when this gets too high, sell it down. When this gets too low, sell it down. Or if you need cash to get your monthly distribution, we decide what we should sell off to do the best thing for you from an investment and a tax standpoint, that kind of thing. And one of the absolute stupidest things that the prior administration came up with was they were trying to apply only non-discretionary trading to people like us.
Oh, God. It would be an absolute nightmare.
I wouldn't blame anybody if they implemented that rule on us to just take a hike and do it themselves. Could we add value?
I think that, or like clients would have to expect, I mean, just being real, in our business, we would have to put people between us and the clients.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In terms of process, because there's no way that you and I can be on the phone and be looking at it.
A full-time person just to call the client to get approval for non-discretionary trades.
Yeah.
And they would just be logging that for compliance reasons. So you're paying someone $50,000 a year just to do that. That's a cost that we have to pass
on. At least
on.
50. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
they're licensed.
If they have to be licensed,
you're talking
100.
About 100.
Yeah.
And that's going to go to that's bad for the consumer.
Really bad.
From my 24 years in this business, I will guarantee you that the worst way you can treat people is to never talk to them.
Right.
The second worst way is to talk to them too much.
No, and people do call. They'll see I placed a trade, and they'll call and ask, hey, Adam, why'd you do this? And I'm happy to talk to them about it. But it's one out of every 500 trades that I make that happens. And I'm always happy to share that information and my thought process. But to do it for all 500 trades would just – I wouldn't have time to do anything else.
I had one issue I remember really well. It was back in – it was in our old life, the prior firm, but it was so long ago that it was even in the old building. A lot of you listening now remember when we were in the Enterprise Park building. And times were kind of tumultuous back then. And one of the things that was happening in the financial crisis was some people just stopped paying dividends. We had a REIT, a real estate investment trust. The reason you own a REIT ever is dividends, period. It's a way to produce cash. And this REIT announced one morning that it had suspended its dividend. Well, that took its intrinsic value, to me, down to zero. And I probably had 40 or 50 people that owned it. So I picked up the phone and started calling them. I made it through two and realized it's going to take a week to do this, and the damage will be done from this in the market today. So I sold everything, and then I started calling people. And they all thanked me to a person. They thanked me for doing it without having to jump in and have a long conversation with them. There are times in this business where you have to use your head and you have to do what's right.
And that's a great example. And I think you knew to do that because you'd already established with the client the spirit of what the objectives were. So it's not like you're going in blind and making your own decisions. It's
exactly.
Under the guise of a bigger plan.
Yeah. Well, it's coming to a head now. A lot of the stuff is getting dispensed with. And we are going to have some flexibility now using AI in our business. That doesn't mean it's going to manage your accounts.
No. But for note-taking, for meeting recaps, for using it for compliance, capturing data, things like that, it's great. There's nothing better because you can record a meeting with AI. It can summarize it. It can make notes. You go through those notes, just generally check for accuracy. You put it in your system, in your what am I thinking of?
CRM.
Thank you. The CRM. And then if anyone ever disputes anything, you've got a record of exactly what happened in that last meeting. And whether you're right or the client's right, it can benefit you both. And so I think it's really important that that happen and be allowed to happen as soon as possible.
Yeah. I've told the story last week about when we were in manufacturing and we bought our first automated machine for the tool room, and it did it overnight. It was cool. And it kept us from having to hire another couple guys as we grew. So it probably paid itself back in the first year. Mm-hmm. It wasn't all that expensive. And this is the same thing. You can't imagine how much a firm like ours would have to grow to keep up with this if they didn't have tools like this. We're growing enough as is. We're keeping up, but AI is going to help that a lot.
Yeah.
When it benefits everybody and the government leaves you alone, that's all good news.
And another thing we have to do is I have to review emails because I'm the compliance officer and look for keywords and things that were said that maybe shouldn't have been said on email. Mm-hmm. So I go through hundreds of emails and just check them and make sure that we're being compliant. If I can just have AI give me the top five most likely ones to have violated compliance rules and skim those, I mean, that's game changing. It's just amazing.
Yeah. And I think as AI continues to evolve and have greater adoption, I think it, you know, our jobs, Adam and me, is to figure out what are the responsible ways to use this while still keeping our personal touch on what clients have hired us to do personally.
Exactly. And what they haven't done is hired us to do compliance for them. That's just something that goes along with the business.
And that circles back, if I might, to tell your kids about AI, tell them to get involved. Don't spend a lot of money. Just put them on the free course and see if they take to it, because those people are going to have the world in their lap for the next few decades, and some people aren't. There are the replacements and the replaced. Be a replacement, I say. Thanks for listening today. It was a lot of fun. Always goes real fast, and we'll be here next week. Same thing. So be there with